that,
said the curate, when presently it happened again. Yes, I said, but what is it?
A Martian,
said the curate. I listened again. It was not like the heat ray, I said, and for a time I was inclined to think one of the great fighting machines had stumbled against the house, as I'd seen one stumble against the tower of Shepperton Church. Our situation was so strange and incomprehensible that for 3 or 4 hours, until the dawn came, we scarcely moved. And then the light filtered in, not through the window, which remained black, but through a triangular aperture between a beam and a heap of broken bricks in the wall behind us. The interior of the kitchen we now saw, greyly, for the first time. The window had been burst in by a mass of garden mould, which flowed over the table upon which we had been sitting and lay about our feet. Outside, the soil was banked high against the house. At the top of the window frame, we could see an uprooted drain pipe. The floor was littered with smashed hardware. The end of the kitchen toward the house was broken into, and since the daylight shone in there, it was evident the greater part of the house had collapsed. Contrasting vividly with this ruin was the neat dresser, stained in the fashion, pale green, and with a number of copper and tin vessels below it, the wallpaper imitating blue and white tiles, and a couple of colored supplements fluttering from the walls above the kitchen range. As the dawn grew clearer, we saw through the gap in the wall the body of a Martian, standing sentinel, I suppose, over the still glowing cylinder. At the sight of that, we crawled as circumspectly as possible out of the twilight of the kitchen into the darkness of the scullery. Abruptly, the right interpretation dawned upon my mind. The fifth cylinder, I whispered, the fifth shot from Mars, has struck this house and buried us under the ruins. For a time, the curate was silent, and then he whispered, God have mercy upon us. I heard him presently whimpering to himself. Save for that sound, we lay quite still in the scullery. I, for my part, scarce dared breathe, and sat with my eyes fixed on the faint light of the kitchen door. I could just see the curate's face, a dim oval shape, and his collar and cuffs. Outside there began a metallic hammering, then a violent hooting, and then again, after a quiet interval, a hissing like the hissing of an engine. These noises, for the most part problematical, continued intermittently and seemed, if anything, to increase in number as time wore on. Presently, a measured thudding and a vibration that made everything about us quiver and the vessels in the pantry ring and shift began and continued. Once the light was eclipsed and the ghostly kitchen doorway became absolutely dark. For many hours we must have crouched there, silent and shivering, until our tired attention failed. At last, I found myself awake and very hungry. I am inclined to believe we must have spent the greater portion of a day before that awakening. My hunger was at a stride so insistent that it moved me to action. I told the curate I was going to seek food, and felt my way toward the pantry. He made me no answer, but so soon as I began eating, the faint noise I made stirred him up, and I heard him crawling after me.